In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best and rarest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
All right, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And I am Marty Berthelmer, a.k.a. Shecky Feldstein, sitting in today as co-host.
Yes, we have our other co-host, young Walter Duralia. He is recovering from some dental surgery, and but he's a trooper. He's here with us tonight, and he's going to be filling in as producer. He's going to young Shecky and young Walter have switched roles, and Walt, we're very happy to have you here, even though you're suffering a little.
So I'm glad you guys included me, and I'm raring to go. So
and you're not suspecting foul play from me pushing you down those stairs when you, right? Just trying to get your job.
No, huh? Not whatsoever. You know, and after today, I'm sure people will see.
Uh-huh.
There's no danger.
No. Right. Your job's it's not up for grabs by this guy.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we are here to talk about comics, and because as always, we are your number one comic book radio show hosts.
Especially number one me, number one rookie over
that's right.
here.
All right. Listen, we are here to talk about comics today.
Is that what we do here?
That's what we do. Oh. We champion the local comic book shop.
Champion.
Yeah. Champion. By the way, Walt, what's my quote on saying local comic book shop for the show?
Five.
Okay.
Not just local comic
per
book
segment.
Shop. You have to say champion as well.
Yeah. I'm being thrown in here. I'm thrown in the deep end.
You know what? You got to live like a shark, man.
He's off to a good start. He's off to a good start.
I don't really know what that
means. Doing well. Doing good.
All right. Listen, we are here to talk about new
we're
comics.
Here for
eventually.
Talk about new comics.
Oh.
At least we're going to start off by talking about new comics. For those of you who have never listened to our podcast or, sorry, our radio show before.
They never will again after this show.
And
I'm going to do the best not to derail it on
all right,
you there, Chris.
Perfect. Well, listen, we do like to talk about new comics every week. The first one we're going to talk about actually came out last week. So even though we talk about comics that come out every week, because new comics come out every Wednesday, for those who don't know, we're going to talk about one that came out last week.
Shenanigans, Chris.
Here's the reason why. Superman Unchained, number one, came out last week, and it's written by Scott Snyder and penciled by Jim Lee. Now, Scott Snyder is the guy that brought us Court of Owls for Batman. Jim Lee is one of the managing editors for DC Comics now. Mm-hmm. So really, we have to talk about this.
We got the big wigs
on the big wigs on this book. Now, this book, basically, it has a little bit of the origins kind of Superman, but the big thing about this is it's kind of an interesting take on the book. Great artwork, of course, but at the very end, it's kind of like it's supposed to be set in kind of like a World War II type thing. And I don't want to give too much away, but all of a sudden...
Give it away now.
I'm going to give it away. Just going to... spoiler alert here. All of a sudden, you're going to find out that they have the real Superman in addition to the Superman we all know and love. So it's a little bit of a different type.
There's
of...
There's two?
Well, you know...
There can only be one, Chris.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but it looks like a really, really interesting take. I don't want to give too much away. I read it. I thought it was a great book.
Yeah.
But I don't want to... You don't want to give too much away. And it does have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm prodding at here. I'm trying not to rip it.
Okay,
because
so,
I hate when books do... You know what?
You can do it. I have faith in you.
But
come on.
But they've got the gag.
It's meant for four-year-olds.
I'm describing... I know, and it's taking... I'm struggling.
Struggling.
And so what... They've got the... I don't want to call it a gag, but I want to call it like a marketing
it's
avenue.
A gimmick.
Yeah, of a poster. Gimmick. Like an unfoldable poster.
Yeah. Yeah. So
inside.
In the book, they have put in a poster-like panel... And it's so that you can kind of basically take the poster out of the book and pin it on your wall because it's got this great big picture of Superman. It's kind of a neat thing. For those of you who don't know, apparently some people didn't know they weren't supposed to rip it out, but you could. You didn't have to actually rip it out. But you can if you wanted to. And I'm not referring to you, young buck, Andrew Roebuck, who decided to rip his out of his book. But
our fantastic sound engineer,
it's
by the way. Yeah.
Fantastic sound engineer.
Doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, it really is. So listen, great book. Really excited by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good, Chris. And then you know what? We're going to have to say that you can pick that up today on the shelves of your local comic book shop.
Even though it came out last week.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, so if because we didn't tell you last week you could pick it up.
That's right.
So now you know today you can pick it
up.
If they still have any left.
Absolutely. All right. Next on the hit parade here, we've got Age of Ultron Book 10. Now, this did come out today. However, this also came in a black bag, so I'm going to...
Oh, the black bag book.
Open it, Chris.
I'm opening it up, the black bag. Oh, it felt good.
That's what the president does,
in
the black box.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, when they have to, go to,
It just lost, half its value?
At least half its value. So, listen, we've got Age of Ultron, book 10, I had to open it up, and... I don't really understand why it was in a black bag. I'll be honest with you.
It's to keep so that you shop owners maybe are less intrigued into opening it up and spoiling. I guess, or is that what it's about?
Ooh, well, there is a bit of a. There is some.
Yes, there is something worth spoiling. So you don't want to.
I don't want to give it away. You know what? The four of us around this table when I opened up to a particular page, they all kind of. We're a little amazed.
Yeah, and there's no words, I don't think, there. It's just imagery, and it's...
Oh, and there's a couple spoilers here.
Look at that.
Do you know...
Oh! Holy crow. Yeah.
You know who that is.
Yes.
Andrew, and I don't know if Andrew does.
I have no idea. I'm making all the noises you guys are making, but I have no idea what's going on.
I can't give this away. Yeah, right. You know what? It's too much. It's too much to give away. Too much to give away. I don't know if it's the final book or not here. It doesn't say it really. It doesn't say the end or anything. So I'm gonna guess no. But
Chris, you're perspiring a lot.
I don't know what to say about this book. I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. There are a couple big spoilers in this book for those of you who are following the Age of Ultron.
You know what part I already like the best?
What's that?
Is the back cover where you've got the Iron Man thing and he's shooting the disc things or whatever he's got going on there?
That would be an ad for a toy.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
All right, listen. That was Age of Ultron, book 10.
And you know where you can find that, Chris?
Where is that?
That's on the shelves at your local comic book shop today. New comic book day.
You're filling in for young Walter fantastically.
I'm up to two. I've hit two so far.
All right. Next up, we got Prelude to Infinity. It's Avengers Prelude to Infinity. Avengers number 14. They eventually get that out.
You're doing as good a job as I'd be doing. I can't make too much fun of you, Chris.
Okay. So you know what? So this is by Jonathan Hickman and... Nick Spencer with art by Stefano Caselli. I read this book, and I don't know a single thing about what's going on. Completely confusing.
Is that different from any other day?
I'm sure it'll eventually make sense, but I don't know what's going on. You know what it actually reminded me of? I'll be honest with you. Did you see the movie Prometheus?
I did.
It reminded me of Prometheus.
It had some
engineer-type people in it. It had some, talking about going back and recreating the origins of the Earth. There's even a scene...
And they're all perfectly buff and naked and everything.
And blue.
Naked.
But you know what? There's even a scene... do you remember in the original Alien... where it had what they called them the space jockey at one point, where they kind of how they flew the ships.
Mm-hmm,
so we saw that in Prometheus, and there's even a scene that kind of looks like that in
it's
this book.
Eerily similar, Chris.
Eerily similar.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I don't really quite understand what's going on in the book. There's some four-faced people, they're like cube head people, blue
box heads.
Box heads.
They might be German. I don't know. I'm German. I can say that, right? I'm allowed.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
So, interesting book. Not really too sure what's going on, but that is Avengers number 14, available at your local comic book shop retailer today.
Chris, that was my bit.
Sorry, I'm stealing your bit.
Why don't you ask me where they're available?
Where are they available?
It's available on the shelves of your local comic book shop today.
Oh, thank you, Shecky.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
All right, and finally, we have Supergirl number 21. This is by Michael Alan Nelson and Diogenes Neves. It's a good name.
You struggled through it, but you did okay.
I think that's how you say it. Diogenes?
I don't know. Let me see.
Sure.
Diogenes.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I think it's Diogenes. All right. Anyway, great looking book. Love the art. I think this Diogenes is quite a hot artist here. I thought the book was a really interesting book. A great look on the characters. You know what? Just I like a lot of action. A lot of if it's a very dynamic looking book to me for me. What do you think about it, Marty?
I think I agree with the action. Every scene, every image she's in, her hair is flailing in the wind because she's doing something frantically.
Every
caption is something going on. It's shouting. It's, you know, flying. It's something.
There's motion.
Yeah. Motion. Yeah.
No. And then when nobody did motion like Kirby, though.
No, that is true. That is true.
And when there's not flying, there's pouting. She's pouting and someone's scolding
her.
So.
When it comes to Supergirls, you got to have a little bit of a pouty going on.
You got
to
have a feminine side.
A little bit of a pouty face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris, that is available today at your local comic book shop.
All right. I like it. Okay, listen.
And
let's...
Chris, don't think you can run away on me.
Oh, sorry.
Shecky's bringing a little magic to the action here.
Okay.
All right, so... As the, you know, the temporary here,
as
I'm going to bring my own little flavor.
Flavor.
So I chose an independent book this time because you decided to go very corporate with your DCs and your Marvels.
I did. It's very true.
And so I actually decided to pick the Doctor Who number 10. You know?
Oh.
Simple as that. We're looking at writing by Andy Diggle and Eddie Robson. Art, Andy Kuhn, you know, and then goes on and on. The credits. I won't read the whole cast reel, but I chose it because it looks like Grizzly Adams is the new Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
Let's see
here.
On the cover.
It kind of does look like Grizzly Adams.
Which is interesting. I have no idea why.
I think maybe
I don't need to know why.
Maybe he's going in disguise.
Maybe
I don't
it's
know.
A Northwest Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. All I know is when I flip open the cover page.
The Louis Riel Doctor Who.
Yeah.
and all I see is that there's a second cover with, like, you know, the gorgeous brunette in the red dress with the red lipstick. I wish I got that cover.
Right.
I feel like we've been ripped off.
It's
absolutely.
Scammed, yeah.
But other than that book is now available on the shelves of your local comic book shop, I chose it because it's a great segue into our next topic, which is where we will review the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
You know what? We should do that. Why don't we do that right after we have a musical interlude?
We're building the anticipation.
I have a perfect song for this.
Ooh.
And I think you might recognize it if you're a Doctor Who fan.
Chris, you know, that was good, but you got me excited with the whole Doctor theme. I thought it was going to be some Dr. Dre.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe like the Dr. Pepper jingle or something.
Dr. Would you like to be a Pepper too?
I would.
Yeah,
I would, Chris.
Yeah.
You
well,
knew
listen,
it.
Yeah. That was, of course, the Doctor Who theme by Delia Derbyshire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Delia.
Good old Delia.
Good old Delia.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
From the Shire.
Tunes. What's she doing? Yeah. What's she doing lately?
She or he?
I don't know. Oh, okay. Time, maybe? I don't know. All anyways, right. Listen. So you wanted to talk about you and I, and young Walter.
Yes.
The three of us were
I believe Andrew Roebuck, our young buck, actually made an appearance
there
as well.
We're all there.
That's right. We were at the Niagara Comic Convention in Niagara Falls.
Young Niagara
Old
Falls.
Old Niagara Falls.
Young Niagara Falls.
And this was a week and a half ago.
It was.
Because we missed the last week's show. Walt was, you know, under the knife.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So we were all there, and you were about to say why Doctor Who was prominently featured before our musical interlude.
Yeah, can I say it now?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Thanks. So at these conventions, as we all know, and I'm sure all of our listeners are becoming very aware by our banter of the fun and frolics that happen.
Fun and frolics.
Yeah, that happen at these events.
The old FF.
Yeah, the old FF.
F and F.
But you know what the Niagara Falls Con really showed a strong showing for it was the popularity of Doctor Who.
Huge.
There was not only were there people dressed up in the Doctor and everything, but those sonic screwdrivers were flying off shelves. People were tearing at the plastic packaging, which is always too difficult to get rid of.
Yeah, they needed those things. Yeah, they needed a sonic screwdriver to get into the sonic screwdriver.
Right?
Yeah.
So there'd be one guy, he has the key to...
Yeah.
So you know what? Other than that, you know, everyone's getting those TARDIS... banks or whatever the Who boxes
from Whoville,
and then they've got the robots,
the Daleks.
Yeah, they've got like life size ones of those.
I love those,
and they were stopping traffic. They were showstoppers.
Love them. How many? There's like five or six of them, and they'd go down the aisleway of this convention where there's already
saying something. Weren't they? They're like
exterminate, destroy. You will be exterminated.
Yeah, and, you know, they were so close to the Big B Comics booth, which had a great presence there. You know, it was great. It was fun. We were right a stone's throw away, and all you heard was that, and they were blowing, like, I guess, compressed air at people.
Well, because they were exterminating people.
Well, I guess so.
So it was kind of cool. They were pretending to exterminate people. They were blowing compressed air at people.
So they were chemicals. So they were like, it was like pesticides.
Kind of. Yeah? Yeah. Well. But we were the pests.
Yeah.
I thought I came back a little loopy from that show.
You know what? I think it's great. I love... Love the fact that people are so abandoned with their emotions that they can don't care about what everybody else thinks about what they love. They go to a convention like this and they can build these Daleks. Mm-hmm. They can dress up however they want, and because it's in a closed setting, there's no judgment.
Yes, speaking of that,
all
bets are off of these things.
And speaking of things that have done well in terms of responses and numbers, Doctor Who is great because. I mean, I'm not saying that you or I can't be a Doctor Who fan, but a lot of young girls are taking... And that's the market that's kind of the untapped resource. You're always, as a comic book, you know, store, vendor, enthusiast, you're always trying to find the young female market because those are the last ones to be, you know, turned to the side of pop culture comics, right?
Well, let's be honest here. You know, when you and... Well, maybe even not when you were young, when Walt and I were young, you know, Doctor Who's been around since, like, the 60s, right? So, black and white, you know, movies and, you know, black and white TV series. It's been around a long time. And when I was a kid, there wasn't a whole lot of science fiction on TV. We had, reruns of Star Trek. And, maybe reruns of Twilight Zone.
The one with Robinson.
Lost in Space?
Yeah!
Everything was either... It was all reruns.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, even Doctor Who was a rerun, but it was going at one time. And so it was just one of those rare things. You got a chance to actually see some Doctor Who. It had a story to it. It was fun to see.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It was predominantly, you know, males that were into it. And now all of a sudden, because it's, you know, there is more of it. It's a thinking man's science fiction. There's a lot of, it's not just, you know, action and phasers and stuff like that. They're smart. They're getting good looking guys to play the Doctor now. So young females are getting interested in it because, you know,
there's
heart throbs involved.
Woe is me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, what I like is the franchise, the property, it kind of flew under the radar in terms of merchandise with the big box stores.
Yes, yes.
So local comic shops that were smart jumped on Doctor Who and have done very well with it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whereas because it really wasn't a mass thing, like at Walmart or Toys R Us and
stuff like that.
So sonic screwdrivers, you know, you can't get them really anywhere except at local comic shops.
Yeah, sonic screwdrivers and Dalek banks and Cybermen toys and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's hard to get anywhere besides a comic book shop.
Which is great for a comic shop, sure. Right?
Now, listen, now we have now that was, of course, big at the Niagara Comic Con.
Right.
And now, for those of you who don't know, that there is now going to be for a Hammer City Comic Con. Now,
Hammertown.
Hammertown.
Hammer Time.
It's over.
Hamilton is now finally getting another comic book convention after I don't know how many years of a hiatus. Like 25 years?
Yeah, maybe.
Remember there was like remember they used to have like the Dreamland convention back in like the early 80s? So, you know, finally we're getting conventions again. Hammer City Comic Con.
Yeah, the old Hammer City Comic Con.
Hammer City Comic
Con. Two of them. Back to back. Saturday, Sunday.
Sorry.
If we're talking about that, though, just popping back up.
Yeah.
The Niagara Falls Con is what? This has been 3 years.
Right? Yes.
And then you move to, you got the Hammer Titties going.
Yeah.
that seems right, though, because okay, now compose. The Niagara Falls show is primarily a pop culture show. I know that Walt, you know, manning the Big B station as much as you could, coming in and out of coherency and not drooling on yourself from behind the counter. Mm-hmm. It's a pop culture show, right? It's not as much old books. It's not as much those vintage. That's New York and maybe Chicago. You know, some of those ones, even though they've become very media related too, uh-huh. I think it's easy to maybe start up a show if you really gear it towards pop culture to get a lot of the people, because people will dress up just if there's a day and an excuse to dress up.
I think they'll do that in Hamilton too. They'll try to do
exactly,
pop culture.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good
start of it. Then you can bring in the good books and dealers and then worry about that.
They were very smart in getting pop culture guests that people were really interested in, such as they had Adam West at the last show, and they
Batman, I gotta say,
and you had Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman had a huge lineup,
and has he ever read a comic in his life? No, like he's purely there for like the people that grew up with that culture,
nostalgia,
right?
Couldn't believe the size of the line for Corey Feldman.
Did you see him? He looked like maybe like a Michael Jackson wannabe or something.
So he had on his black fedora, his sunglasses.
Oh, the fedora with like the super silvery flashy belt like rim thing.
Sorry, go ahead.
Just because I saw him, I couldn't wait. Yeah. But the lineup was too big. I couldn't actually.
And he had the black jacket on.
Oh yeah, the vest and then like the long sleeve, nice. And, you know, like he's a casino dealer or something.
And the pièce de résistance.
Oh, the white gloves.
Yeah,
he had him rocking. Yeah.
Nice. White gloves, a la Michael Jackson back in the day.
Hey, our good buddy Pat Mastriano did well, too.
Yes.
Yeah, he was just an earshot away. He's two or three booths down, I believe. Yeah.
Such a great guy. He wants to be on our radio show, so we're going to have him on one of these days.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Above all that, they had all kinds of wrestling guests there.
Yep.
They had Kane Hodder, however you say his name, the guy who played Jason was there. Mm-hmm. So they had all kinds of horror-type guests. You know, great idea to get the pop culture crowd in, more so than the comic book crowd, because let's face it, pop culture is
everywhere.
Geek culture, I'll call it, is everywhere.
Yeah.
Comic books are still popular. They're growing.
Niche.
However,
it's true.
It's a niche
and
thing.
Especially when the old time, you know, the diehard collectors and investors, they're going to go and save up their wad and blow it at the Fan Expo because they know there's a lot of big dealers there. Yeah. They know that new shows don't have big dealers necessarily there.
Right.
So they'll wait until it's 8 years developed, and then they have good dealers, and then they'll go to them.
They'll go to Chicago. They'll go to San Diego. They'll go to New York. They'll go to Fan Expo.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, I thought the Niagara show was a really good show.
It was great, it was packed on the Saturday. Like they did a great job at promoting or advertising whatever
they
did. They
had 15 over the weekend.
15,000 people there.
That's
pretty good.
That's good.
It's pretty good for a show in its infancy, really.
Yeah, third year.
You know, third year. So I thought it was really well done. Well,
awesome.
Listen, we got to keep on going here.
Keep on trucking.
Speaking of comics and conventions and everything, of course, we are here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio talking to you about new this week and comics and all kinds of fun stuff.
And how great your local comic book shop can treat you with all this information.
Absolutely.
And new books.
We have to talk very quickly about... So now, Marty, you're too young to remember back in the day when I was a young lad collecting comic books, and every once in a while Marvel would come out with a graphic novel that was a one shot all on its own, and this was not a trade paperback. So now in my day, graphic novels and trade paperbacks were not the same thing. Now today people call them the same thing. It's trade paperbacks, graphic novel.
Right.
Because back in the day, a graphic novel was a standalone comic.
It's its own story.
Square-bound, own story.
And, yes.
Trade paperbacks were a collected edition of various comics all put into
like
a
the run thing. Of like the story arcing eight issues
exactly.
put into a novel form or
exactly.
like a graphic novel form. Right.
Exactly. And now that line has sort of been muddled a little bit. But back in the day, that's what a graphic novel was. And it looks like Marvel is now producing original graphic novels. And they're not going to be released as a weekly book. They're going to be produced as a one-shot type thing. And they're putting one out for April the 2nd, 2014. Now, this, as it's saying, Marvel is going to release a high-end, oversized format book, which will be written by Mark Waid, who has, of course, done all kinds of great stuff. The Flash, Daredevil, you name it. He's worked on everything. And James Robinson, who is the writer on Starman.
Mm-hmm.
And the art will be by Gabriel Delato, who did Secret War, a great painter from Italy.
Right.
And they're putting out a book called Spider-Man Family Business. Now, this is going to have a worldwide release appearing simultaneously in stores, not only in North America, but in Italy, Spain, Germany, France, Brazil, Finland, and Turkey, if, they're not, if there's not an uprising at the time.
Jive, Turkey.
Right.
Exactly. So, you know, so there's going to be a story involving the Kingpin and someone claiming to be Peter Parker's sister. So I don't want to talk too much about it, but yeah. So, is this a way that Marvel Comics are going to go? Are they going to continue to release graphic novels and maybe shy away from the weeklies?
Well, you know what?
The first
thing that comes to my mind right now is the fact that you've got something unique that's an actual, you know, graphic novel, right? Yeah. For once, you know, in a while, like you said, and that might just really help them tap into like the Chapters Indigo markets, because I don't think that, you know, the trade paperbacks really do amazing thing. But now it's its own story.
All the fanboys have bought the monthly.
Exactly,
so.
Right? And now it's an actual story that people will go there to, because it's a graphic novel you find at your bookstore.
And you haven't read it before. You haven't read it in serialized form,
yes.
Right?
So, yeah. So I think, I believe it's expanding their market, maybe.
I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I think, you know what? I think it's...
Is it the beginning of something bigger?
I hope so. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think that this could possibly be entering another phase in the comic book industry where, you know, for a long time, people didn't really think of comics as being, you know, an art form or as something to be taken, you know, seriously.
Seriously.
So I think that maybe, you know, we kind of had those growing pains with them back in the day, you know, and then maybe they figured, well, it wasn't people weren't ready for graphic novels.
Yeah.
I think it looks like maybe now they can actually put out something that is going to be a high-end graphic novel with fantastic art, fantastic writing, and have it be a little bit more higher priced, you know, in an oversized format. So it may be, you know, $50 or something.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's okay because now they're saying that, hey, we're ready for these kind of things.
And you can't get these. It's unavailable.
You're not going to get it anywhere. Right.
This is it.
You want it, you got to pay for it.
Let's
just to double up with that. They do have it coming through digital, so that you can get it as well through the Marvel site.
Yes.
You know, for tablets.
Yes.
So that'll still be available that way. But you know, it's just one more way to make it simple for you to
absolutely
kind of obtain
it. And you know, I like this idea because as we've seen with you know, they've produced books where it's like the raw copies of guys like Gil Kane's artwork and Wally Wood's artwork, and they're giant oversized pages or books which represent the actual pages that they had the original art on.
Yeah,
so
I think
there's a community that likes the originality of this stuff, and I think they like the fact that this is all going to be very artistic.
I like it. It's a good idea.
And just you know, as a marketing thing, I guess they probably picked Spider-Man because the release date is April 2nd, 2014, which is, what, a month before the film?
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 comes out,
yes.
So it makes sense to probably have it be Spider-Man. It's such a...
Yeah,
you know,
and you know what? Let's why don't we talk about, speaking of Spider-Man, why don't we talk about?
Yeah,
about
we probably
Spider-Man.
Should. It's important.
So, Sony Pictures announced yesterday, I believe it was, that they have chosen the release dates for the third and fourth entry of the Spider-Man franchise. Now, we saw the first one, Amazing Spider-Man, came out. The second one hasn't come out yet. It's coming out on May the 2nd, 2014,
right.
Which, coincidentally enough, is a month after the... Did the book Spider-Man Family Business. So now, this is interesting because Sony is now basically saying, we're not letting go of the Spider-Man franchise.
Right.
Right? We already have dates for 2016 and 2018 for the next Spider-Man movies. We are on par to have one every 2 years because we're going to have one. We had one in 2012. We're going to have one in 2014, again in 2016, and then in 2018. So, you know what? They're locked in with Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
And fans that were hoping that Disney would get it back. This is telling them, sorry, guys.
Right, which is, you know, bad luck for Avengers and for everything like that, where you wish you could see, you know, Spidey just
that would be cool,
popping
right?
in. You know?
Yeah, that's basically they're saying that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because now, I always get confused with the way the rights go, but basically, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, They have to, if a company has the rights to a particular character to make these movies, they have to continue making movies in order to have the rights roll over and allow
once every 4 years or something like that. Yeah. Standard.
So, unless they actively say, okay, you know, we give up. You know, we can't make a good Ghost Rider movie. We can't make a good Daredevil movie. Right. It's all yours, right? Mm-hmm. So, but Spider-Man clearly is a hot enough commodity that they know that they're going to make some good stuff with it. Now, as we said,
I liked
the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
It was very different from
Sony's
the way that
okay.
the first one
Sony is doing good work with it. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's not like you know what I mean. It's Sony. Like Sony's doing good work. So it's not a bad thing.
I completely agree. And you know what? If we're gonna talk about Spider-Man, and we have to make sure that we're gonna have some Krantz in this show. We gotta have the old Spider-Man Krantz cartoon. For those of you who are listening new to our show, we always play one of the old greats from that TV series, and here's one of them. This one's called "Up Through the Tunnels."
Chris, that's the Krantz that I had an urge, you know. I had a fever.
Fever for some Krantz.
Krantz.
All right, listen.
Good stuff.
Now, Marty, yeah, sorry, Shecky.
You call me whatever you like.
Shecky, you know, you are a man of the industries of producing. You are our producer. So you are aware of percentages and market shares and marketing and how things like that go, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, 0% of $0 or 100% of $0 is still the same way, no matter how you turn it up.
That's right, so. And that's what we pay you, and you're doing a great job.
That's absolutely correct.
Earning every penny.
Earning every penny. All right, listen. Now, we all know that Disney is a huge conglomeration, corporation.
Conglump.
Now, but what you may not know is that Variety magazine has recently released that the Walt Disney Company, has an 80% share of the entertainment licensing revenues. So, what do I mean by that?
Yeah, break that down for me.
Okay,
there,
so I don't mean 80% of the movies that come out are Disney. I mean, when a movie comes out and they decided to have, you know, merchandise related to
like
it.
Toys and
toys
action figures.
Toys and pillows and mugs
whatever.
And watches and whatever it happens to be. 80% of that licensing revenue from all the movie that comes out.
All the money.
All the movies, all those licensed revenue dollars. Disney has 80% of that, of those dollars.
Wow.
So
One company
owns 80% of that. Now, to break it down a little bit further, retail sales of licensed products. So again, your Spider-Man dolls, your Transformer figures, whatever it happens to be, you know, T-shirts, mugs, watches. We spent as a retailers $49.3 billion on that stuff last year.
Wow.
Okay. Disney gets almost 40 billion of that, $39.4 billion of that $49 billion.
Wow. And that's not even the movies.
That's not just
money.
The movies. That's just the merchandise.
Wow.
That's
which
the pop.
That's the yeah.
pop vinyl. And,
pop vinyl and yeah. T-shirts.
Chris,
and,
I didn't know you were spending all this money on your knickknacks.
You know, Lord, I love my knickknacks.
Yeah. Oh.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Amount
huge,
of money.
Isn't it? Huge.
Oh. Like,
huge.
That's where the money is in merchandise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. now it really doesn't. It really makes sense when when Disney bought out Star Wars mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. said LucasArts for $4.5 billion or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's like a drop in the bucket compared to what they're going to be making off of all that stuff, right?
I know.
Like it,
I know.
It just adds to their whole what they get to take in for all that stuff.
Wow.
Crazy, isn't it?
Wow.
Just crazy.
Wow. Listen. Buy Disney stock.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? Buy. I love. You know what? I couldn't have said it better if I were you. Listen, you know what? Let's. Shecky, we're going to talk about something else. Just while we're talking about Disney here.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We should talk about Star Wars Land.
As now, if there weren't any more to talk about, you know, with Disney anyway,
well,
right?
You know what's funny is that as much money as Disney seems to be making, we just want to keep on throwing money at them.
Yeah.
Right. So now,
and they know it.
And they know it for sure. Yeah. They know it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, Walt, I know you've been to Disney World. Mm-hmm. I've been to Disney World. Shecky, have you ever been to Disney World?
Oh, absolutely.
In Florida, yeah.
As a young pup.
Okay,
yeah.
So now Disney World in Florida, which is different from Disneyland in
California. Different coasts.
Disney World is made up of a number of parks. So you've got the Magic Kingdom, which everybody always calls Disney World, but they actually call the Magic Kingdom. You've got Epcot.
Yeah.
You've got
Animal.
The Animal Kingdom. You've got
The Pirates like thing. There's like
that's even part of something else. That's part of the Magic Kingdom.
See, I have no. I'm clueless here.
So
Chris.
Hollywood Studios, which used to be MGM Studios, because remember, there's also Universal Studios, which is not part of. Disneyland,
right,
Disney
right.
World.
It's,
well, they're both in Orlando. Well, one's in Kissimmee, one's in Orlando. So Universal
Studios.
What'd
you tell me to
do? Hey, Kissimmee. So MGM Studios, which then became Hollywood Studios, now at Disney World, is now going to have their own subsidiary land in there called Star Wars Land. So now, at the MGM Studios, they always had the Star Wars ride, so it was like a 3D adventure ride kind of thing, and then afterwards you can go back and make your own little, you know, action figures out of robots and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they have decided that they're now going to have their own Star Wars land. So just like in the Magic Kingdom, there's Tomorrowland and Frontierland and you know, Main Street USA and all that kind of stuff. So it's divided up into little sections. Now they're going to actually have the Star Wars Land and Disney World.
Wow!
Wow!
Crazy,
wow.
Eh?
That will be the number one. It could be.
You know what? I would say that it would be the number one place to go to in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Hollywood Studios also has like the Tower of Terror and that kind of thing.
Right.
But, I mean, they've got lots of great rides. But, wow. I mean, I think as a kid, you know, you'd love to go there.
I'm thinking this might even be a little bit of a play where they're probably going to try and not just get families coming, you know, to Disney World all the time. Like this will actually get, you know, grown men coming out.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what? What better place to have, like, you know, a Star Wars celebration, like
a
convention or a wedding or
yeah.
Florida. Have a Star Wars chapel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go sit on the throne.
Hey. Oh.
Anyways, listen. So lots of great Star Wars stuff going on around.
Wow.
And,
tell me about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So listen.
Are we done with Disney yet?
We're not. We are and we're not. Now, Disney, of course, owns Marvel. So we're going to go back to Marvel. We're actually going to talk about comics again.
Hey,
craziness.
We do that?
Well, because you know why we talk about comics? Because we are Comic Culture Radio broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and we have to champion the local comic book shop.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Now,
yes.
You are a video game player, are you not?
Yeah, why'd you have to hit me when you say that?
I like hitting you.
Yeah,
for
effect.
For effect.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever play the MMORPGs?
The blah, blah, blah.
Okay, you know, you got to get with the program here, all right? If you want to be co-producing or co-hosting the show.
Because I would know all about that.
Yeah.
I know. I know you would.
I feel like I've let down Walt.
Massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
That's what that meant? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah, yeah.
If, for example, World of Warcraft or Star Wars The Old Republic, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of those type games. There's
a DC
Universe Online. Well, Marvel, there's a new Marvel one called Marvel Heroes. Did you know that?
You just told me, yes.
Sigh. Anyways, there's a new Marvel one called Marvel Heroes, and it's free, and it's a lot of fun. So, you know what? If you want to, you know, never go outside again, if you want to squirrel away in your parents' basement,
right,
or in your own basement, you know,
so for the few that already haven't.
For those, those already haven't.
Right, because this is just the jump off. You were playing World of Warcraft, and now you're playing this.
That's right.
You know, you're just finding the next one.
So here's the thing. So when you start the game, you can. Interesting thing. So it is free. It's free to play.
So does that mean there's like pop-ups or something
coming up? No, but I think that the online universe is taking a different take on how to get money from people. Because
they're still trying to get money.
Right. Yeah. So here's what they do, though. So let's say you want to play the game. So they have five characters that you can start with. So you can be Daredevil, The Thing, or Hawkeye. Or if you want to be a female character, you can be Storm or Scarlet Witch. So you choose one of these characters, and you start playing the game. Now, if you choose, you can enhance these characters with items you can buy online, or you can buy other characters, which are only available to be purchased or somehow found.
Right.
So they're saying, okay, you want to be the Thing? Well, if you want to have special Clobber and Time Punch, well, you got to pay another $20.
$20 or for a punch.
Or whatever it happens to be. Okay. You know what I mean?
What does he do if you don't buy the punch? He blows him kisses? What is this?
He loses every time.
He loses every time. Yeah. It's just those lovable eyes.
Never got a dinner.
Yeah.
So there, it's free to play. It's a little bit fun. It's not
a little bit fun.
You know,
that's a good sale.
Hey, they're not paying me lots of money to do this. I'm just telling you.
Chris Holland sales.
Yeah. Hi. Listen, it's an interesting take on the game. I won't say a lot of fun, just, you know.
No, because you didn't. You said it's a little fun.
It's interesting, for those of you who want to check it out.
Oh, well, that's good, if you do.
Now, finally, about Marvel here for a second.
Finally.
Here. Not finally. For Marvel here, we got a Marty, or sorry, Shecky, you like to wear cologne every once in a while, don't you?
Oh, I love to get dappered up.
Do you ever want to smell like an old man?
I don't think I'm there yet, Chris.
Do you ever want to smell like a millionaire old man?
Oh, now you're talking to me, Chris. Now you're talking.
Well, now's your chance.
Really?
Because now you can smell like Stan Lee.
Do I just rub up on him, or what do I do?
Stan Lee is having his own cologne come out called Excelsior.
Oh, my God.
Stan, you can now smell like Stan Lee.
Okay.
What
does he smell like? Like, is it his, like, musk? His
mothballs?
Did they get his odor, his personal odor,
in a
jar?
Some sort of arthritis medication.
Yeah, or maybe it just smells like whiskey or something.
Oh, that'd be all right.
People will be drinking it instead of
a rummy.
Yeah. So hold on now. Okay, let's take it back to reality here for a second.
Because
I'm assuming this is real news you're approaching me with here, Chris.
Sort of, not really.
Yeah. So I'm not the avid, you know, troll who's rooting through your dollar bin books. Because I'm a diehard collector, you know? I'm not that old school fanboy who's been with comics since, you know, the baby boomers have developed and saved all their horse. Is this actually something that, you know, normal people who, like, just comic book fans are going to say, oh my God, give me.
Yes, only comic fans would actually do this because no person in their right mind is going to go to, you know, the Bay or the Hudson's Bay Company as it's known now and say, which one will I get? I'll get Dolce & Gabbana Blue or Calvin Klein or... Oh, hey! You smell like the old man, Stan Lee Excelsior.
Wait a minute. Sulu.
Sulu.
See, maybe it's building off of the popularity of Sulu.
And you know what? You're half right and you're half wrong. It's not building off on the popularity of Sulu. There was actually a series of colognes that came out last year based on the Avengers. So you could buy the Iron Man cologne, the Thor cologne.
Here's my idea. Here's my theory.
Smell like the God of Thunder.
Yeah.
How does he walks out of the bathroom?
Yeah. All right. Here's my thinking, okay?
So, what is it?
So this is almost like a collectible in its own.
Yeah.
You know, people who have, like, you know, say, like, you know, Chris, I've been to your house, you know.
Yes.
Many times.
Wait, when? I've never allowed you in.
Many times when you're not there.
Oh, okay.
Your wife lets him in.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Sell her Tupperware or something. I don't know. I forget what the story was.
Right.
Anyway, so going into your little cavern, your man cave there, you've got nice displays and everything.
Oh, well,
you know,
thank you.
Set up.
Thank you.
And that's a visual, you know, stimulator, let's say, right? Same thing. I'm thinking that this Stan Lee cologne is just a stimulator.
Right.
For conversation, and it's going to sit on the mantle. They could put,
a gag gift.
Yeah,
a gag
they could put cat piss in this because they know the fanboys aren't going to wear it. They're just going to have it on the mantle, and it's a conversation starter. You know?
That is true.
Mint in box.
Mint in
box. Yeah.
You know what? I didn't bother ordering the other ones, but I'm kind of tempted to order the Stan Lee.
Yeah, it could smell like a dead horse. It doesn't matter.
I think I might have to. All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here.
Quick, while I get some cologne on.
Quick to the cologne. Mm. I got to find some here. Let's just play. Oh, you know what? We haven't played this in a while. We got to go with the old Aquaman.
Oh.
Aquaman. Aquaman. Aquaman, king of Atlantis, king of the sea. Where the danger is, that's where he'll be. Always defending you, yeah, you and me. Aquaman. Can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
Never gets old, Chris.
You know what? We hadn't played that one in a long time. Had to get back to the old.
It is swimwear season.
That's true. We got to get back to one of the classics.
Yeah.
All right. Listen. Speaking of classics, we do need to talk a little bit about Sin City. Now, Shecky.
Yes, sir.
You are a fan of those things called movies, correct?
I believe I've seen a couple.
Now, did you see Sin City, the movie?
That may have been one of the two films I've seen. Yeah.
Nice. Well, listen, you know, in case you didn't know, Sin City has a sequel called A Dame to Kill For. Now, A Dame to Kill For was actually one of the titles of one of the original graphic novels,
right.
Comic books, whatever you want to call it, back in the day.
Trade paperback.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this has now been pushed back to 2014, according to Box Office Mojo. The new release date will now be August 22nd, 2014, moved from October 4th, 2013. And no reason for the delay was given.
And that's like a 10-month delay. That's almost a year.
You know what? I'm wondering if maybe it's just not as good as they were hoping it could be, or what was going on with
that. Well, you know what it could almost be? Maybe this weekend was, summer, like the, you know, for the Hollywood blockbusters,
yep.
They couldn't get it done in time to hit that season.
Yeah.
And they know how much more money there is in having a Hollywood, you know, sort of the summer season, the blockbusters.
Yeah,
that's where the money is, right? That's where all the big ones are. So maybe they just pushed it so they could make, you know, an extra 50% if they delayed it the 10 months.
Right. Well, that's great point, because you know what? Another film based on a Frank Miller graphic novel, which was the 300?
That was the second film.
Yeah, I only saw two movies
in
your life.
Yeah, that's the other film I've seen.
300 was one, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, they have a I think it's more like a, I don't know if it's a sequel or more like a prequel.
Yeah.
Is it a sequel? Okay, because it says Rise of an Empire. I thought maybe the Rise of the Spartans kind of thing. So, all right, so anyways, the sequel, the 300 Rise of an Empire, that's been moved from August the 2nd, 2013, to March the 7th, 2014.
So they just lost their summer blockbuster slot.
Well, here's what I don't understand.
Two Miller things that have been delayed.
Yeah, two Frank Miller movies have
is
been
he
delayed.
Throwing monkey wrenches in the gears?
I'm wondering
what's going on?
Yeah, is there something in behind this?
Maybe he's asking for more money, or maybe he, you know, he's...
Because were they both successful?
Yes, absolutely.
They were,
yeah.
They were received
so it's
very
not like,
well.
Like there's trouble with budget or anything.
No, I mean, they're you know they're both very very well received. I think I think 300 is probably a little bit more
money. And afterwards, the big test of the big thing that will prove it's worth going into a sequel is always that cult fan base that says, you know, they are comparing movies, you know, years later to something that, you know, the original movie, right? So 300 was that movie that was, it was gritty. It was so visually detailed. You know, everyone had abs of steel and everything.
Yeah.
And the way their dialogue was all like, you know, the word last words of your life before you go into battle. Like, every line was like that. Everything was so dramatic and over the top and, you know, clenched fist sort of thing. I know so many friends, you know, personally.
You
a
have
lot
friends?
Of friends? Yeah, a few here and there. Oh, you're a friend, right, Chris?
Yeah.
All
right. Not after you stink into
with
my
benefits.
House. Sneaks into my house.
Well.
Yeah,
that's
benefit.
What
that's what I'm saying.
What
I got the benefit of wearing his Sulu. That's what it is. So, anyway, all I'm saying, if I remember what I'm saying, is that they actually attached themselves to those niche cult followings and they loved it. They loved the grittiness of Sin City and that sort of traditional like 30s style and everything. So, anyway, I think that these sequels would be great, huge monsters, but I don't know why they're getting pushed back.
Yeah,
it could be anything.
And, you know, speaking of you know, trying to catch on the heels of these movies, Man of Steel, we talked about Man of Steel earlier today. We were going to talk about Man of Steel. Sorry, we haven't talked about that yet. Man of Steel.
You don't talk to me at all.
Oh, well, not anymore, not after wearing my Sulu cologne.
Can tell the musk, huh?
Man of Steel actually, you know, was actually directed by Zack Snyder, and Zack Snyder directed the 300.
Yeah.
And in trying to get people interested in the Man of Steel movie, they even said from the director of the 300 and that kind of thing. So they knew that there was the 300 was obviously good enough to warrant that. It's not like they said from the director of whatever
Poseidon Adventure,
you know, Sucker Punch, which was one of his terrible movies, so anyways, Man of Steel came out this last weekend. Marty, did you get a chance to see it?
I have not, Chris.
Oh.
Since returning from my show in Toronto, I've been AWOL from the movie theaters, pretty much.
You haven't seen a single
movie? I've seen Hangover 3.
Oh, well, at least you saw something.
Yeah, I would have rather stayed at home.
Oh, really?
You know what? They've got the one-liner and the quips and the joke and the angry Zach Galifianakis being angry and off his meds or something.
Yeah.
But other than that, it didn't have the same, hey, we did something, let's backtrack our lives because they're falling apart.
Right.
It was just a linear, like, from point A to point B mission.
So they took the...
You know, spoiler alert. Do I have to say that before
Okay. Well, spoiler alert. Boop, spoiler alert. they took the, what do you call it? Not the plot, but there's a...
300?
A concept, I'll call it. A concept. They took the concept
that made
that movie interesting.
Then also having the good dialogue. The dialogue was okay.
They did
there,
it for the first two, and then they changed it for the third one.
Yeah. It was still funny and amusing, but it's just what you're hoping for wasn't there.
Yeah. So,
anyways. Yeah.
Let's, Man of Steel. So you did not get a chance to see it. I have not had a chance to see it. I was at a wedding all weekend. However, young Andrew Roebuck, our engineer here, saw it, and he's giving it two thumbs down. Two thumbs down.
I think he's confused. I think that means he likes it. I think he's kind of backwards.
I don't think he likes it at all.
Shaking his head. No, he doesn't like it. No.
And this is the thing. I'm hearing mixed reviews. Here's the thing. Hearing mixed reviews.
I have also
heard
these mixed reviews.
That some people love it. Some people hate it.
Yeah.
Some people say it's Superman, but it's not my Superman.
Right.
Yes. So, and that seems to be that seems to be the big the way people are describing this movie is that, you know, it's Superman, but it's not my Superman.
Hey, it made a bucket of money.
It did make $125 million since the that's including the Walmart $12 million. And the regular $113 million.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good money. Mm-hmm. Pretty good money. And clearly, you know, that means it's probably going to be a sequel, right?
Yep.
If they make that in an opening weekend.
Well, it's also got to be received well, right? Because some people will blindly walk into the opening week. And then after that, if the numbers slump, really, you know,
but
plummet.
I've heard good reviews.
But they're up and down, right? I guess different people have different expectations
going
in.
But it's the purists that are panning it, though, right?
Yes. Well,
see? I don't think they want the purists. They want to
But you know what? They want to restart it, but from what I'm hearing, they're not even restarting it in a way that is consistent with today's comics.
Mm-hmm.
Not even from the comics. They're not saying, hey, you know what? We understand that, you know, there's a new way of looking at the character. But DC is publishing a comic, and the movie that's being published today is not like the comics being published today, right?
Right?
So
right.
It's completely different. Here it's a little bit darker.
Uh-huh.
And I think, unfortunately, sometimes Hollywood thinks that the only way they can make a superhero movie be successful is if they make it dark.
DC, anyway.
DC, anyways,
yeah.
Yes.
Because Avengers wasn't dark.
No, you're absolutely right.
But all the Batman were dark.
All the Batman were dark. And I think they figure, let's make this gritty and dark and... You know, it's not meant to, you know, it works with Batman, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's not meant to work with Superman. Superman's a Boy Scout. Superman is the goody two-shoes who does whatever he can to make things right, you know, come hell or high water, right?
Yeah.
And from what I'm hearing, that is not the Superman that's in this movie. And I think that's the problem with that a lot of so-called purists are having with it, is that it's not even the Superman that even remotely looks like. I mean, they get the fact, hey, it's not Christopher Reeve.
Right.
You know, it's not George Reeves. It's not any kind of incarnation of Superman that we knew before. And they understand that. But the core values that Superman holds and has held for, you know, 80 years is not there.
They're still not adapting this new vision.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think they have to go for new people.
But you're right. But do they have to go for new people in a way that's going to be destructive to the character?
Well, right? Define destructive to the character.
Okay, so what if we took Wolverine and made him not the best at what he does?
Oh,
well,
you know what I mean.
No,
like,
what if you do this and it offends half of the people that were the diehards now, and now they don't care for it at all because you know what? Superman's flip flopped so many times. You know what? I'm just done with it. You know, that's happened in comic books before, right?
Yeah.
You get new writers come on, the character flip-flop, that you get a good 10 issues, you get a bad 15, and then it's like, I'm done reading that, I'm going to read something
Make up
else.
My mind already.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. How are we doing? Okay. Listen, one last thing. We do want to remind people that there is going to be, again, the Hammertown Comic-Con.
Yeah.
October
5th.
October 5th,
sorry. Hammer City?
Hammertown,
apparently.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, I kind of goofed up. I said, I was going to say Hammertown, but then I was going to say Hammer City.
Oh, we know what happened.
Yeah. So anyways, kind of goofed up there. But listen, that's going to be October 5th. Now, and we don't know any guests yet, as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the fact that Comic Culture is going to be the premier radio show sponsoring that show.
The whole show.
The whole show.
I couldn't think of anyone better.
The official sponsor.
They don't know that yet.
Yeah. No.
And I hope they don't hear it because they make lots of money.
All right. But we that's us.
Yeah.
That is us.
Yeah.
Comic Culture.
They're working on good guests. I heard they emailed Stan Lee.
Yeah?
He hasn't emailed back. But.
Well, he might.
Yeah, you never know, right?
You never know.
Well, he might.
Where?
He might.
Hamill. Hamill. Where Hamill? Zach Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
I love Mark Hamill.
Where the hell's that?
I love that Luke Skywalker guy.
Listen, can I bring cases of this cologne? It's not chilling.
Now, that would be something.
Yeah. A cologne with a signature.
Buy the cologne and get a signature on that. Now, that would be something else.
Yeah. Listen,
you know what? Unfortunately, we're running out of time. As usual for the show, we didn't even get a chance to get to mailbag next week.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, all four of us will be here again next week. You know, it's always great sitting around here chatting with you guys.
Well, you never know. Next time, I could push Walt harder.
That is true, and dislocate his jaw or something.
Yeah.
Listen, Comic Culture is produced by our young Shecky Feldstein. Today is produced by. Across from me, Walter Duralia.
Yes.
My co-host is young Shecky Feldstein to my left, and engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and scroll to the comments field to add your comments. You can also hear us podcast on comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
Yes, and remember to... I don't know what this... No, you know what? This is you.
No, but you're me.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, but this is you. I can't read something that says Chris on it. Because I'll feel dirty afterwards.
And remember, go out and support your local comic book shop.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wait, that was my bit. You stole my bit.
We'll work on it, Chris.
We'll work on it. Have yourself a great day, everybody.